This is Steve Sherlock with another series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is 69B. This is the second part of the special session where I sat with Scott Mason, the town council chairman. We sat on the town common, spent about 50 minutes. This will be the second part of that discussion, picking up in the middle from where we left off in the first one and split only for ease of listening. So you'll have about 25 minutes in each part. We cover the gamut of issues surrounding the special election, the override election coming up on June 8th. You'll have some quotes in the show notes and some links to supporting documentation. If you have additional questions, of course, you can reach out to Scott and other members of the town council or to myself, and my contact information is available.
We've got a lot of issues coming up in town. This override is one of them. Obviously, a potential budget deficit for next year is another. And then we've got a debt exclusion on the horizon for the renovation of the high school that we've got to consider in about a year and a half.
Right. And while I've heard some people talking about that as in $100 million, that's an erroneous number. That goes back, I think, to the initial proposal for building a brand new school, where the plans now are just for a renovation of the existing school.
Well, you know, I was thinking back because I heard that $100 million mark, and I was thinking back to where that could have possibly came from. And I think about 3 years ago when we started this process, there was a study done that very roughly said, you know, you can expect, if you were to build a new high school, you can expect to pay $100 million or more. But there have never been any concrete numbers attached to any part of this project at this point. But basically, by the estimation of the school building committee, of which I'm the clerk, I think, and it's just, I won't hold anybody else on the committee's feet to the fire on this, just kind of my feeling, is that a renovation of the scope which is needed for this high school is probably in the neighborhood of $50 to $60 million. Of that money, the town will be reimbursed 50% by the school building authority administration, which is a state-run agency. And the wonderful thing about that is that the state generally only ever reimburses between 31 and 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they're willing to do 50 for us. That's the good news. The bad news is, and it's not really bad news, is we have to, everything that we want to do has to be approved by them.
Correct.
And they may come back to us and say, well, you know, we'll pay for this, but we're not. If you want to do this, we're not going to pay for that.
Right.
We may tailor our ultimate plan more to be in line with what they're willing to pay for, but it's nowhere near $100 million, and that's a whole separate entity anyway. It's a debt exclusion versus an override. An override is forever,
right?
Unless it's repealed. A debt exclusion is only in effect for the amount of time that the debt exists. So in the case of the high school, it would be a 20-year debt exclusion. When that debt goes away, that tax goes away.
Right.
The other piece that people need to know, because they are starting to ask questions about it, is that at this point, it wouldn't even hit our pocketbooks until about 2014 or maybe even 2015 when the project's done.
Correct. Yeah, because we're going by the state timeline.
Yep.
They've got a process, and we just simply have to go along with that.
Absolutely, yep.
And the risk there, too, is that while they're proposing to refund us up to that 50%, if we fail at and we still decide to go forward, now we have to pay 100%.
Well, unfortunately, there's not much of a decision to make because we're on the brink of losing our accreditation. We've been there and back a couple of times. We certainly don't want to continue that process because it affects the ability of our children to get into good colleges. The other issue is that, you know, that school's 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1971, when it opened, those science labs were state-of-the-art. They're not the state of anything anymore, except disrepair, maybe. Yeah. I was talking to a gentleman last night who is the owner of a biotech firm here in Franklin, and he goes in to speak to the high schools on a regular basis, and he said, Franklin is by far the worst. He said, there's equipment that I bring in to show them that they don't even know what it is.
Right.
He said it's really a shame.
Yeah.
But it's certainly more than the science labs. The roof of the field house needs desperate repair. It leaks. Both locker rooms are in terrible condition. Mm-hmm. They always have been. We need ADA access issues.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you do any kind of a renovation, you now have to bring it up to ADA compliance, which is an added expense. back in 1968, 69, 70 when the school was being built, asbestos was a common building product. All the floor tiles in the school are asbestos. If you touch one, you have to remove them all. Mm-hmm. That's the law.
Yeah.
So there are things that we have to do that, you know, if the law didn't say, state didn't say we had to do them, we might not, and it might save us a few bucks. But those are just some of them. We do need some additional classrooms to handle the growth. So where it stands now is that the bid packets have gone out to architects. I think to date we've given out 23 bid packets, so we expect to have a good response back from the architects. But it's a long timeline. At this point, construction isn't slated to begin until at the earliest probably the end of 2012.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a vote for the debt exclusion probably in November of 2011.
So a full year plus away from where we are now.
Yes.
Yeah. And then a few years beyond that before it actually even hits our property taxes.
Correct.
Yeah. So let's shift a little bit more to the positive side in terms of clearly the town, while we can raise revenue internally, we don't like to raise taxes that way. We need to foster the growth in the business area. And the town, through the community planning development, has been making some efforts down that road as well. Can you speak to some of those?
Yeah, we just the council just voted to lessen the constraints on zoning for biotech companies in an attempt to entice them into Franklin. And in conjunction with that, we've done some advertising in some of the biotech trade journals. The Department of Community Planning and Development has done a wonderful job of reaching out to big business and making them aware of Franklin and the benefits. And one of the benefits that we have here that's very attractive to business is a single tax rate.
Right.
We feel that one of the best ways to increase our tax base is to bring in more business.
Right.
One of the least likely ways to do that is to move to a split tax rate, which is only going to discourage any new business from coming in.
Yeah, so picking up on the point of the single tax rate, yeah, that's come up from time to time in regards to the split versus single. I think focusing more on growing the pie and building the business opportunities is clearly the better way to go. And we've got some other gems. I think there was a recent example of a company who had indeed relocated here and had a great reason to do so.
Yeah, there was a story in the Milford Daily News about a week or so ago about a company up in Forge Park that manufactures protective equipment for the military, and Congressman McGovern was touring the facility and was talking to the owner of the company, and he asked him why he chose Franklin, and the response was that he had a choice between, or they were looking at, Charleston, South Carolina and Franklin, Massachusetts. And for anybody who knows anything about a business, running a business, they know that the overhead is far cheaper down south. And what he decided upon was going to Franklin based on the quality of the schools here in town. And to me, that speaks volumes to how important our educational system is in maintaining it. Because here's a guy who could have saved a boatload of money in overhead by simply choosing a different place to build his business. Instead, he chose a more expensive place, but picked the better school system.
Right.
So there are about 200 people that work there that are all spending money in town, that are adding to our tax base. And, you know, that's a prime way, you know, for people who wonder, you know, they may not have kids in the school system, or they may have had kids in the school system, but they're growing, you know, why they should continue to support the educational system in town. Well, that's a perfect example. Here's an ancillary benefit. It brought a company into town whose employees live here, spend money here, support our community.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what we hope to gain.
Yeah. And in terms of the efficiency and effectiveness in terms of how we're operating, the downtown improvement project is effectively being funded by state and federal grants. It's not coming out of, to the great extent, it's not coming out of our budget. We've paid some nominal amounts in terms of planning documents, but everything else is state and federal grants.
Right, and of that, of those planning documents, we will be, that inevitably will come out of the grant money. But about 5 or 6 years ago, we received $5 million from the federal government and $1 million from the state to make improvements to the downtown, streetscape improvements. And the goal of that is to revitalize the downtown. Franklin is one of the few communities around us that has an actual downtown. Unfortunately, it hasn't been viable for probably 25 or more years. But you know, there have been signs over time that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there've been some cafes up there, and Cafe Dolce now. We were in there this morning, and
sure.
You couldn't find a table.
Yeah.
You know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, and on a weekday. So that should tell you something. So, you know, we hope to, by redoing the streetscapes, to attract smaller businesses downtown and create more of a boutique cafe atmosphere for townspeople and a place for them to congregate.
Right.
And once again, that single tax rate is a way to do that. It's an enticement.
Correct. One of the other pluses, I think, downtown, which will help with the traffic as well, is also an efficient use of some capital money that we've had in renovating the museum.
Well, the museum is kind of another one of those hot topics of late, because there is a small contingent of people that think that was a complete waste of money, especially in this economy, and I would argue vehemently with them that not only was the timing perfect, in that we were able to solicit contractors' bids that were well below what they were 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
We actually came under budget with the project. But if you look at the big picture, you know, not only did we preserve our town's history, which is incredibly important because Franklin has a very rich history, everything from authors and inventors to politicians and, you know, famous educators. Horace Mann is the father of public education, born in Franklin. But we were able to renovate a building and put it to use where we would have had to renovate it to some degree anyway. The building and the land itself that it sits on, because of its size, was not sellable. It's too small a parcel.
Mm-hmm.
So we certainly weren't going to let that building fall apart. We were paying heating and electrical costs anyway. Our valuable historical artifacts were in a place where they were exposed to the weather.
Yep.
They were deteriorating. And no one could take advantage of learning from them, seeing them, benefiting from them. Because the building that they're in, for all intents and purposes, wasn't safe to be in.
Right.
So, you know, I've had people come up to me and say, complete waste of money. And my response is, do you have a photo album at home? Yes, we do. I want you to go home and I want you to throw it out in your front lawn and I want you to leave it there for a year. Because that's what was happening to these historical artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who haven't been in that museum, they did a wonderful job.
Yep.
Tri-County came in and built custom display cabinets for us. Talk about bang for the buck. They
right.
did a wonderful job.
Yep.
They're as nice as anything you'd see in any museum anywhere.
Absolutely.
A ton of volunteers helped in a number of different ways, including yourself,
including
moving.
Yep.
But gentlemen like Ronnie Pellegri was in there, you know, day and night, hanging pictures, straightening up, helping put out materials for display. The Historical Commission, Debbie Pellegri, did a phenomenal job. It's just everything came together, and it's a perfect example of what makes us a better town.
Mm-hmm.
The building is open Thursday evenings from 5 to 8?
5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Yep.
And Saturdays from 10 to...
1.
10 to 1,
yep.
And Sundays from 1 to 3.
1 to 4.
1 to 4. 1 to 4. I knew it was 1 to 4.
3 hours each.
Three hours each.
Yeah. And all volunteer staffed.
It's all volunteer staffed, and it's free.
Right.
And we've got material on display in there that is just absolutely amazing. We've got arrowheads that date back to before recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
We've got artifacts on display from the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't know that. The mill store complex down on Union Street was one of the first mills to produce uniforms for the Union Army in the Civil War.
Right.
There's so much. And so much we're uncovering. One of the things that we learned recently was that the gentleman who piloted the plane that dropped the second atomic bomb, the bomb on Nagasaki, yeah. Lived on Southgate Road for about 20 years.
Wow.
You know, so we're actually working on creating a display around that.
Yeah.
But the Brick School has a wonderful display there. There is a display of Victorian clothing, various war memorabilia.
Yep. Civil War, World War I,
right
World
through.
War II. Yep.
Right through.
Yep.
So, you know, people need to take advantage of that. And in terms of its correlation to the renovation of the downtown, I view it as the keystone for that whole project because it's something that's going to draw people to it for educational purposes, entertainment purposes, pride in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part is it's free.
Right.
So I don't, you can't go wrong. That's a win for everybody.
Can't go wrong because it was a minimal expense, and as we've said, you know, efficient dollars utilized and given good opportunities to a number of the folks to utilize their skills, i.e. the Tri-County students, etc.
Well, the other piece of that too, Steve, is that people, and you and I have talked about this, people get a little fuzzy when it comes to the general operating budget and the capital budget.
Right.
And money that went to renovate the new museum came out of the capital budget. The capital budget can only be used for capital items, things like the purchase of vehicles or the renovation or repair of buildings,
right.
You know, things of that nature, textbooks for the students,
right.
Technology,
yeah.
Protective equipment for the fire department,
right.
Things of that nature.
New CPR machines and stuff.
New CPR machines. It cannot be used for salaries.
Right.
And where that money comes from is that every year, every department, if they have any excess money, it gets turned back to the town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually around $2.1 million. Lately, it's been a little less because of the economy. That money then has to be certified by the Department of Revenue as free cash. And then it comes back to the town, and we get to utilize it in our capital budget every year. Now, generally, we go out and buy three or four new police cruisers to replace the oldest ones every
mm-hmm.
year. We may put money towards a new fire truck or fire equipment, like we said, technology
right.
issues for the schools.
Yep.
We've used it in the past to pay for some of the renovations to the library.
Library, yep. Fix the leaks and stuff there that were affecting the murals.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah. So, to summarize, at least to this point, we've talked about DPW, police, fire, schools, spent time in terms of both the override itself as a Prop 2.5 voter decision, and then talked to some of the future in terms of growing the pie overall with the businesses and the business community, et cetera. And that's really the long term where we really need to go to we'd avoid going back to the taxpayers individually.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you need to add or cover in there?
Well, you know, I think, too, that there's a lot of misinformation that surrounds an override. And to me, that's the most frustrating part of doing this job, is that I think that there are a percentage of people out there that no matter how much you show them in facts and analysis and data, that at the end of the day, they just don't want to pay more taxes.
Right.
And as much as I don't like to hear that, that's probably the one excuse that I can buy. If you just came to me and said, you know what, Scott, I agree that we need all this, but I just don't want to pay more taxes,
mm-hmm.
I would almost be okay with that. But instead I hear things like, well, the town is mismanaged. The town wastes money.
Right.
You know, clearly anyone that's looked at this data knows that that's not possible by
yeah.
this. We're a very lean, efficient machine here in Franklin.
Yeah.
The town never does what it says it's going to do if it doesn't get the money. That's not true. When we ask for an override, we yell at the top of our lungs so everybody can hear what our needs are clearly and give them the opportunity to ask questions. If we don't get that money, we don't do our business in public. It's done. Our layoffs are done behind closed doors. It's not in the paper. But over the past 5 or 6 years, as I said earlier, we've gotten rid of 100 teachers and 50 municipal employees. So
mm-hmm.
clearly, the cuts are there.
Right.
We have less people working for the town today than we did last year, the year before, so on and so forth. We
right.
cut every year.
Yeah.
We hear that the town always finds the money. I love that one. Yeah. We've got pickle jars that we buried out in back of the municipal building.
Is that where they are?
And every year we go out, and when we don't get an override, we dig them up, and we take a little money out, and we make up the difference. We don't have secret accounts. We don't have money buried out back. It doesn't exist. Several years ago, we received some money from a lawsuit, about $6 million. We have used that year in and year out to balance the budget to make up the shortfall when we haven't had the override that passed in 2007. That money is gone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist anymore. We don't find money.
Right.
We're well aware of how much money we have and where it is and what it's earmarked for. Mm-hmm. We're not in the business of asking for things we don't need, and we're not in the business of getting some level of joy of raising people's taxes.
Right.
It just doesn't exist. These are all excuses that are made by people that either are just plain misinformed, or they fail to take the time to learn the issues and the facts surrounding mm-hmm. them. All that information is out there.
Right.
It's all. We had a public forum Monday night. We had about 50 people show up. Yeah. It was advertised through the town council meetings, through your website, in the Milford Daily News.
Okay.
But we suffer from a great deal of voter apathy in town.
Right.
And unfortunately, when something as important as an override comes out, we need people to get out and vote. 16% of the 19,000 registered voters vote in town elections. Your elected town officials directly control how your tax dollars are spent. Not your president, not the U.S. senator, not any of those other people. It's us.
Mm-hmm.
But yet 80% of the people go out and vote for president.
Right.
It's, you know, and I'm not saying they shouldn't. Everybody should vote.
Yeah.
But we should be getting at least 80% to come out and vote for town elections and certainly override questions.
Right.
So what I'm telling people is on June 8th, don't go out to the polls alone. Bring a friend. Go next door. Knock on your neighbor's door. Drag them out if you have to. You've got to go vote. This is not... unimportant stuff that we're dealing with.
Right. Yeah. And one other thought, last but not least, but certainly the affordability of the override is a decision for a number of folks in Franklin. I know you've made, and the council has made, a number of efforts, particularly into the senior and the elderly population, in making it the tax abatements, the deferments, more available to them.
Yeah. I don't downplay the cost of the override to the average citizen. But the statistics are that, and I'll definitely touch on your point. For the average household tax bill, which is based on a $385,000 assessment, it amounts to about 66 cents a day on your tax bill, about 66 cents per thousand of assessment. Pocket change. Now, you know, my idea of pocket change and your idea of pocket change might
right.
be two different things.
Right.
But the ironic thing about this is that the people who come forward and say they can't afford to pay this are the people that stand to lose the most if it doesn't pass in fees.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you would think that they would be the ones that would be in line first at the polls to vote for this. And as far as our seniors go, you know, we're keenly aware, especially in a bad economy, of the ramifications of increasing costs for our seniors. At the beginning of this year, one of our freshman counselors, Tina Powderly, did a tremendous amount of work to bring forward programs that are available to seniors that provide tax deferrals and tax abatements.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did she bring those programs forward, but she petitioned the council to make the acceptance into those programs broader so that people can qualify easier.
Right.
And she did a tremendous amount of work, and you know, these programs are available to seniors. The flip side of that is that we've done telemarketing campaigns to the seniors. There are mailings that go out to the through the senior center to all
right.
the seniors.
Yep.
And we only have a handful of seniors that take advantage of these programs. We have a work program for seniors through the municipal building where they can work off a portion of their tax bill.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And although there is supposedly a cap on how many people we can accept,
I believe we don't turn anybody away.
Right.
So if seniors are interested in getting involved in that, they should contact the senior center,
right,
and they can get more information on it.
Yep.
If they think that they're eligible for one of these programs, they should contact the senior center and get more information and at least find out.
Right.
But you know, there are ramifications for our seniors too. If the override fails, we will lose one fireman, and that puts in jeopardy our ability to staff the second ambulance in town.
Correct.
And unfortunately, the people that use that ambulance the most are our older folks in town.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want to do is, you know, be in need of emergency medical service, and you end up having to wait longer.
Yeah, extra response.
Because the ambulance has to come from the center of town as opposed to the King Street station.
Right.
That's not a good position to be in.
No.
And we as a council are not at all happy about being put in the position where we have to make that decision.
Sure.
You know, we wish it, you know, that at the end of the day that people see the importance of this and step up on June 8th.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point, too. June 8th, normal polling place, high school, between 6 a.m., 8 p.m. Okay. Any assistance required, certainly they can contact Con Clerk. I believe there's some special rides available.
Yeah, they have a number of golf carts that will take folks from their cars in the parking lot up to the entrance and back.
Yeah.
There are, once again, I think if you call the senior center, you can get more information on specifics if you need them. But I know the last several elections, that's been the case.
Yeah. And then if there's additional questions around any of the particulars of the budget, we've had a couple of topics there, so my tongue's gotten tied on those. Certainly they can contact you or any other councils. The information's available on the town website.
Yep. Information's available on the town website, as well as the Long Range Financial Planning Committee report, which is also available on your website.
Right.
Steve Whalen's analysis of the 30 communities is on the town website, and I believe also available
through
your website.
Through
you can call any counselor and ask questions. I'm the council chairman. Please feel free to reach out to me if you need to, either by phone or email, and I'll either speak to you in person or answer your email as quick as I can. These are not necessarily uncomplicated matters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to them, and I know folks have a lot of questions. We've been around to a lot of places talking to a lot of different people, and you know, we've heard all the questions. If there's something that I don't know, I'll get you an answer.
Great. Good. Good. Well, again, thank you. The lawnmower guy has finally finished, so he's done a nice job. Do come out to spend some time and enjoy the town common. It's our gem here in town. And again, thank you for spending time this afternoon. Good luck on the rest of the informational sessions, and we'll hopefully get a good turnout on June 8th, and we'll see what happens from there.
I hope so, Steve. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
As I close this session, let me remind you that if you like what I'm doing here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something, please tell me. Thank you for listening. For additional information, of course, visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes, 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.